from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
With the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision 2 years behind us and the 2024 elections less than 6 months away, abortion looms large in the political landscape. Today, we take a look at state ballot initiatives on abortion with Catholic News Agency's Jonah McEwen. Then we turn to look at an exciting change that's happening at EWTN News. Catherine Hadro has become the host of EWTN News In Depth. She joins us with insights into the new role, how Mother Angelica's legacy is continuing to play out, and also some of her highlights of her own experience in the grassroots of the pro-life movement. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Executive Director of the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency. I'm your host here on Register Radio. So nearly a dozen states are considering abortion-related ballot measures in 2024. This effort comes after the repeal of Roe v. Wade, June 24, 2022, which returned to the states the power to legislate abortion, resulting in nearly half of the states enacting strong protections for babies in the womb, and then other states where there are measures that are more liberal. Jonah McEwen has tracked these stories for many months now. Jonah is a staff writer at Catholic News Agency. He's also works on the graphics side of things too, and he's created a map that is a tracker for these abortion-related measures. Jonah, thanks for joining us.
Jeanette, it's great to be here.
So first off, I mean, this is radio, so we have to kind of create a verbal image, a verbal picture of what this tracker looks like, so we can invite our listeners to go to CatholicNewsAgency.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page where you can find this map. But Jonah, what's it look like?
Right. So what we've created is an interactive map of the United States where you can click each state and get information about the potential ballot measures, and in some case, in the cases of five states, the ballot measures that will appear before voters in November. And what you can, what you'll see when you click each individual state, you'll get kind of a summary of how we got to this point of abortion being on the ballot. You'll see the current abortion law in each state, because obviously each state varies, especially since Roe v. Wade allowed each state to legislate on its own on abortion. And you'll also see basically you'll get a summary of what is going to appear before voters. So if you're in one of these five states, it would be great to take a look and just familiarize yourself with what you're going to see when you go to vote in November.
Absolutely, it's a crucial part of this election. And we're going to see the election rhetoric pick up in earnest over this weekend and going into next week, especially as we approach the anniversary of the Dobbs decision on June 24th on Monday. Jonah, the map is really excellent in that, you know, it's so interactive. But let's talk about which are the states that we already know will be voting on abortion this year. There are five, right?
Yes, that's right. And thank you for that. It really has been a team effort through all of EWTN News to put this together. So the five states that we know for sure have abortion on the ballot, and it's interesting because two of these states are quite pro-life states and already have a lot of protections for unborn babies. And unfortunately, three of the states are already quite liberal in their abortion laws. And the ballot measures, unfortunately, would make those states even worse for unborn babies. But just to kind of go through and name each state. So the ones we have so far are Colorado, Florida, Maryland, South Dakota, and New York. So if you're in any one of those five states, it is certain, unless something changes, unless there's some kind of an appeal, it is certain that you will see language related to abortion in those states. And I don't know if you want me to go through each one individually
yes.
right now. Or
let's start with this. Yeah. First of all, you mentioned sure. the two states that are very pro-life. That means that they have restrictions on abortion. That's South Dakota and Florida. So what do we see happening there?
Yes. So in Florida, and this will become kind of a theme among many of the states that are voting on abortion. In Florida, what has been proposed is an amendment to the state constitution, which would essentially enshrine what abortion supporters call reproductive freedom, which essentially just means the state would not be allowed to interfere in any way in and again the language varies by state, but a lot of times they say that the state cannot interfere with pregnancy outcomes. And that kind of thing, which in other states that have passed similar measures to this, Minnesota comes to mind, it has essentially meant that abortion is legal all through pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so obviously this is something that Catholics should most certainly vote against. And in Florida, as we mentioned, Florida already has quite strong pro-life protections, as does South Dakota. Now, South Dakota's is a little bit different because the measure in South Dakota would essentially legalize abortion in the first two trimesters. I believe in the first trimester it would be quite permissive in when you could have an abortion, and in the second trimester it would have some restrictions. But so in South Dakota, maybe not quite as extreme as what we would see in Florida. But yeah, certainly for Florida, it would be a huge flip from
right.
A very pro-life state to a very permissive state when it comes to abortion.
Right, and then we have Colorado, Maryland, and New York. Let's talk about Colorado and Maryland, and then we'll turn to New York because that just got back on the ballot. So what's going on in Colorado?
So Colorado and Maryland are both quite similar in that currently by state law, both Colorado and Maryland are very, very permissive on abortion. Colorado, I used to live in Colorado, and I love many things about that state, but unfortunately it is extremely permissive in terms of abortion laws, and Maryland is very similar. And in both of these states, they essentially have, similar to Florida, they have reproductive freedom amendments on the ballot. And what's really, there's a lot of things that are dangerous about these proposals, but one of the really dangerous things is how hard it is to repeal a constitutional amendment. Because
right.
if a constitutional amendment is passed, it's much harder to repeal than if, the state legislature just simply passes a pro-life law. Or abortion law, and so it really is very important that pro-life people turn out and vote against these.
Right. So now we're left with New York. It just got back on the ballot this week. What happened there?
Right. So New York was kind of a little bit of a flip flop because this is a common theme. New York is very permissive when it comes to abortion. Based on its state laws, but what was proposed again is essentially an enshrining of abortion into the state constitution. And for a time, for a couple of weeks, the measure had gotten enough signatures to get on the ballot, but it was blocked because of some kind of technicality, a procedural issue. But just this week, and we reported about this at CNA, a judge reversed a lower court decision and now allowed it to get back on the ballot. So as of right now, again, unless something changes, that will be in front of voters in November. So again, if you're in one of those five states, it's pretty easy to know how to vote because all of them on all of these measures, pro-life people would want to vote no. We'd want right. to say yes to life and no to all of these measures.
Right. This is Register Radio on EWTN. I'm Jeanette DeMello, your host, and I'm talking to Jonah McEwen, who's a staff writer at Catholic News Agency. We've been talking about ballot measures on abortion that will be on the ballot in November. This is important 2024 elections coverage. And we have a tracker map at Catholic News Agency. And you would just go to catholicnewsagency.com and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll see the map and its colored states indicating where an abortion-related measure may be on the ballot or is on the ballot in 2024. So, Jonah, you know, we've been talking all about the abortion topic because of the Dobbs anniversary and how much it's, you know, just abortion is in our public discourse right now. These battles are hugely important, as you've been talking about. But there's also another item related to life that you've been following, and that's IVF. And so you've written a story this week about the ethics of IVF and how Catholics and Southern Baptists have come to agree on a few points concerning it. Can you tell us what's happened there? Because typically, Catholics stand alone in their opposition to IVF. So what's happening?
You're absolutely right. So the reason we're talking about Baptists and IVF this week is because last week, the Southern Baptist Convention, which is you know, a major gathering of representatives from churches from the Southern Baptist denomination, and this is a major Protestant denomination. There are around 13 million Southern Baptists in the U.S., the largest single denomination apart from Catholics. So it's a very significant group. And what they did last week was they essentially approved a resolution that laid out some of the major ethical concerns from a Baptist Christian perspective with the process of in vitro fertilization, which, as many Catholics probably know, is not a process that is considered morally acceptable by the Catholic Church. And now it's been enumerated by the Southern Baptist Convention as well. And it's quite significant because some, you know, very vocal and important Baptist leaders had been speaking against IVF for quite a few years, using many similar arguments that the Catholic Church uses against IVF. This resolution that passed last week represents really the first time that the Southern Baptist Convention as a body has spoken out against IVF. And it's worth mentioning that the resolution didn't, quote unquote, you know, condemn the use of IVF specifically. It laid out some very major ethical concerns and encouraged Christian couples, especially those who are struggling with infertility, to consider those implications and to, if possible, only use aids to reproduction that respect the inherent dignity of human embryos, who, of course, as Christians and as Catholics, we believe that those are a life, that those are children.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, there's more we could say about that, but it is quite a significant step that a Protestant denomination of this size and influence would be speaking out so forcefully for the pro-life position.
So I'm going to point to catholicnewsagency.com and the story: Southern Baptist Convention approves resolution opposing IVF, and you can read about that opposition there. When we come back, EWTN News In-Depth's host Catherine Haydrow talks about her new role and her roots in the pro-life movement. This is Register Radio on EWTN. Stay tuned for more.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Executive Director of the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency, and your host here on Register Radio. We've invited on someone who knows the pro-life movement very well. She has covered it as a journalist for many years now. Catherine Haydrow was the founding host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, a position that she held for 5 years until she stepped down in 2021. And she's also been reporting here and there for EWTN News in Depth. Most recently, you would have seen her coverage on the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage. She's taking on a new role as EWTN News in Depth host. She joins us to talk about this new role and her experience in the grassroots movement, pro-life movement. So, Catherine, it's so exciting to have you with us. I know you're in the studio there at Washington, in Washington, D.C. at the, I always like to give a shout out to Guadalupe Radio Network, whose studio that is. So thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here and speak with you, Jeanette.
So last week, Monse Alvarado, who's the founding host of EWTN News in Depth, handed the baton, so to speak, of that show to you so that she can focus on her duties as EWTN News' president and COO. It's such an important role that you're taking on with this show. It's just been a very important show for showing the Monse's leadership as she took the helm of EWTN and just covering the church in an in-depth way. So for you, how is this a progression of your own experience with journalism and EWTN?
Thanks for that question. Well, first off, it's so humbling. I know what it's like to launch a show and then pass on the baton, you know, if you will. And so I'm incredibly humbled by this opportunity. And I do see it as just that, Jeanette, as a progression. You know, I started off as a reporter for EWTN News Nightly, where I got to cover a variety of topics. But then, as you mentioned, launched and hosted EWTN Pro-Life Weekly for 5 years, where I was focused on the life issue, primarily on the topic of abortion. In the past 2.5 years, in my role as an EWTN News contributor, I've had the privilege of being able to travel the globe, really, mainly Rome, reporting on the life of the church, reporting on the World Meeting of Families, the Synod, being there for Pope Benedict XVI's funeral. In these past 2.5 years, I've had this opportunity to take a step back and look at the state of the church today, to look at what is it that Catholics are talking about and kind of wrestling with, what are issues that are relevant to families today. But all of this built on the foundation that I received at EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, that everything is built on that foundation of human dignity and respect and that inherent dignity that we all have. And now I can take that and extend that to other issues in the church as well. So I do see it as this progression. I'm excited to still be reporting on the pro-life issue, obviously. And I think we'll be talking about that some today, but on other issues as well that are of interest and importance to our viewers.
Yes, you've really had an incredible a couple of years in your life. Lots of different focal points, considering that you were not tied to one show. And so I think we'll get into that a little bit more. But, you know, I'm thinking about years ago when you told me the story of your experience with Mother Angelica. And, you know, your EWTN professional experience, you've been with us for the better part of a decade. 2016 is when you started.
2013.
Was that 2013. Sorry,
yes.
That's right. The show started in 2016.
Yeah.
So since 2013, you and I started right about the same time. I was 2012. And so how did Mother Angelica impact you?
I mean, I think for so many of our listeners, I think they can relate to this. EWTN was always on in my home growing up. I kind of say it was just part of the fabric of my family, Mother Angelica in particular. And I really go back to these memories I have of watching Mother Angelica sitting on the couch between my mother and my grandmother. And something, I look back and I'm like, why did we just love watching her so much? And I think it's because here was this woman who, you know, she spoke her mind, obviously. She had this combination of wit and wisdom, right? But she also profoundly knew human suffering. And I think it's only in hindsight that I look back and I realize something I gravitated towards her. Here was this woman who herself was a child of divorce. And I was a child of divorce. My mother was, and my grandmother was as well. And I think it's only in hindsight, I look back and I think we really took consolation and hope of she knew that kind of unique suffering that I, unfortunately a lot of people know that as well. And here she had this great hope and trust in our Lord too. And she had this joy about her beautiful that just came off the screen. And so she's just always been in my family home. You know, I would pray for her in my class intentions in grade school. I remember middle school, we had to choose our role model, like our idol. And I chose Mother Angelica when I was in middle school. And so just always in the fabric of my family, which is why it is, again, incredibly humbling to be contributing to her mission today in 2024.
I just love that story. I mean, and it's so beautiful that you were able to identify her in some of the suffering that she experienced, and your family was able to take consolation in that. Mm-hmm. You know, Catherine, you mentioned in depth, EWTN News in depth, just, you know, a broader look at the mm-hmm. life of the church. And sometimes that life of the church includes that suffering and that, yeah. that outreach and that the way we have to look at those who are suffering and try to understand why and what can be done about it. I mean, it's beautiful that you've had that experience and that mm-hmm. Mother Angelica knew that too and spoke mm-hmm. to those things in so many of her shows. I keep thinking about, I guess the question, how will she assist you in this mm. new role? How are you carrying out her legacy in this new role?
Something that, you know, comes to mind right away is as you're talking about that, about how we all can relate to human suffering. That's just part of the human condition. And at EWTN News in Depth, we won't shy away from that. You know, I think there are some prickly, tricky topics out there to navigate, hard conversations that Catholic families are having at their dinner table. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to shy away from that. We want to lean into that. And I think just like Mother Angelica, she never shied away from a topic. If a viewer called in with a tough question, she addressed it with the truth. And yes. that's going to be part of our goal as well. Again, doing so in a way that we can handle with sensitivity and care and great thought and prudence. That is the privilege of it being in depth, right? That we get this chance to pause, take a step, look at, you know, what's in the headlines, what are people talking about, and then address it with peace and truth and prudence and have these tough conversations. We're not going to shy away from that. So I think that's one inspiration that we'll carry with us. And that's, I think, what we're called to do as well, because that's what people are wondering about and talking about. And so let's address it. Let's talk about it.
Right. Head on. So this is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Catherine Hadro, host of EWTN News In Depth. Monse Alvarado interviewed Catherine on EWTN News In Depth. You can find that interview on EWTN's YouTube channel under the show EWTN News In Depth. Look for the web exclusive. Catherine, I want to turn to another important topic to you, to all of us really, mm-hmm. Which is the pro-life movement. And with the second anniversary of Dobbs in just a few days, we're focused on this movement. What do you see? Where's the movement now? We don't have much time in the show, but how would you describe the movement right now, the condition of it?
The word that comes to mind is messy. It's messy. And that doesn't mean we keep on moving forward. We keep, you know, having that hope and that determination and moving forward in that way. But it is messy right now. And I see that in a few ways. We are obviously at the state level, losing these ballot initiatives state after state. It's going to be tough this year with all that's on the ballot this year. But the pro-life movement for the first time is really having to grapple with questions they haven't been forced to face in the same way. So two that come to mind immediately, the topic of contraception. The pro-life movement, there's long been this strong alliance between Catholics and evangelicals. And I do believe that alliance is still there. But these areas where we do in fact disagree are coming to the surface more. And the same can be said about IVF and in vitro fertilization. And the church is very clear on IVF, and you know, it is never permitted. But we're seeing pro-life lawmakers wanting to advance IVF legislation. We're seeing this debate about what is the role of the state versus the federal government in protecting life. And this is all happening in real time, these debates and these discussions, and there's no kind of clear end in sight in regards to that. So it's messy, but it's necessary. And it is the fact that the Dobbs decision happened 2 years ago, that was the right and just decision to happen, right, that finally pulled the Band-Aid off so we can allow this wound to start healing. And it, again, it requires these tough conversations, but we have to keep the long view ahead, the long game in mind.
Absolutely. I know this is a topic in depth we'll continue to cover, and I'm so grateful you're at the helm there. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's been a joy. Thank you so much, Jeanette.
Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. Together with my producer, Michael McCall, I'm Jeanette DiMello, and until next week, I pray that God bless you.